Bible said we love him because he first loved us. Thank God. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, right after the book of Ephesians. Philippians chapter number 4. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
I appreciate people obeying the Lord and using the altar. Thank God we have an altar that's used. Amen.
Amen.
Most churches, that's the freshest carpet in the place because it's never touched. Amen. I'm glad there's a lot of people on the altar every service, and I thank God for that. Philippians chapter number 4, and I'm going to read just a couple of verses of Scripture, probably very familiar to you, and share a little thought with you tonight, and we'll spend some time in prayer. The Bible said in verse number 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let's pray together. Fathers, we come to you again this evening. Thank you, God, for a good day. And Lord, thank you for our people tonight. God, just pray you'd open your word to us for a few minutes tonight. Lord, do something in our hearts to draw us closer to thee, God, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to look at verse number 6 one more time. He said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." I asked you a question years ago, and I've asked it again several times since then. How long does it take you to pray 1 hour? How long does it take you to pray 1 hour? A day? I doubt that very seriously. A week? A month? I have figured that up in my own prayer life for myself. The first time I thought about that question, how long does it take you to pray 1 hour? And I kind of got to figuring up my prayer life and the average of how much time I spend each day in prayer. And I'll be honest with you, I was ashamed at how long it took me to pray for 1 hour. Amen. Somebody once said years ago, our greatest failures are what? Anybody know? Prayer failures. We're as closest to God, someone said, when we're on our knees. The greatest two tools in our arsenal is this book and prayer. The greatest two things a Christian has is the Word of God and then prayer to God. And if you would be honest tonight, you would probably admittingly say, those are the hardest two areas I have to work on in my life. I have to make myself read my Bible. I have to make myself go to the Lord in prayer. But you know what? We're quick to pray when something's wrong. We're quick to pray. We're quick to burn that phone up and say, "Preacher, would you put this on the prayer line or that on the prayer line?" Or stop somebody in the aisle during fellowship and say, "Would you pray for me? Boy, I'm having a bad time, or I got a bad report from the doctor." Listen, we need prayer even when there's not a problem. Would you agree? We need to pray even when there's not a problem. You say, "If things going great in my life," well, look around your country. Look around your community. I just told you about a little girl that grew up in our church. A little two-year-old boy got killed on Sunday. Boy, there's plenty to pray about. We'll have a prayer sheet come back in here in a minute that will be full front and back. We have plenty to pray about. And I want to encourage you to pray. And I got to thinking about this, and I asked myself a question. Just what does prayer do? Well, the answer to that could be very broad, because prayer does a lot of things. We've seen prayer do some mighty amazing things. We've seen prayer bring a spouse to somebody who thought they'd never get married. We've seen prayer take cancer that they said could not be cured. We've seen prayer put a baby in a womb where they said that it was absolutely impossible. We've seen prayer do great and mighty things. And as much as we've seen prayer do, you would think it would make us want to do it continually. And by the way, the Bible does say, pray without ceasing. Well, prayer does a lot of things, but from these verses tonight, I want to show you four things that prayer does that is a blessing in my life and yours, if you'll pray. If you'll pray. Did you know in the old days, the old timers had prayer meeting? That's what they called Wednesday night services. It wasn't Wednesday night church, it was Wednesday night prayer meeting. How many of you remember going to Wednesday night prayer meeting? They'd make a few announcements, sing a few songs, and they'd pray. Man, they just got together and prayed. I remember growing up, all night prayer meetings. Anybody ever been to one of those? All night prayer meetings. I grew up with that. I remember every year before our big summer revival, they would have a men's woods prayer meeting. We'd go off in the woods on a creek bank somewhere in the middle of the night. They'd take a tree about that tall right there, and they'd saw that thing off on an angle and made a pulpit out of it, and somebody'd preach. And I'd watch them old men of God crawl around in them leaves on the ground and beg God to send revival. You don't hear about stuff like that anymore. Very few meetings that I attend, and I preach all over this country, and very few places do I go do they even start the meeting with a prayer room or an altar prayer. And then they wonder why God doesn't show up and do something great. We wonder why God isn't doing great things in our life. How's our prayer life? How is your prayer life? How long does it take you to pray an hour? How many of you figured that up in your head? Am I the only one honest enough to admit it? Brother Shane said he did. How long does it take you to pray? For an hour. There ought to be some time every day where you spend time in prayer and not, Lord, bless this Big Mac I'm fixing to eat. And not, now I lay me down to sleep. That prayer ain't even scriptural. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If you're saved, it's kept. Amen. But we ought to have a time we spend every day in prayer. How many of you have a prayer list? You ought to have a prayer list. Brother Shane, I don't know if he still does it or not. I don't want to put him on the spot. But Shane used to keep a journal or a notebook. And Shane could go through there over the years and had all these prayer requests that we prayed about. And he could show you everything that was got checked off. The majority of, I'm talking about a notebook that thick, wasn't it, brother? The majority of the things in that notebook were checked off. Isn't that amazing? That's a testimony that God heard and answered our prayers. So if he's done it then, he'll do it now and he'll do it tomorrow. So we ought to just keep on praying. Amen? Amen. Listen, let me show you in these verses what prayer does. And we'll spend some time in prayer and go to the house. I want you to notice that prayer, number one, replaces worry. Prayer replaces worry. In verse number 6, notice how he started the verse. In verse number 6, he said, be careful for nothing. Now, I don't change the Bible or fix the Bible, but that word careful carries the same meaning as anxiety or worry. In other words, the apostle's saying, don't worry about anything. You know why? Because worry fixes nothing. How many of you ever had a problem fixed in your life because you worried about it? Tim Noble, my friend, we grew up together our whole life and was my best friend for years and years and years. He used to make me so mad. He worked for us up here at the school, and it didn't matter how bad it was. If you know Tim, he was always just on nothing, riled him, nothing, just always on an even keel, wasn't he, Robert? Never got, he didn't worry about nothing. And it'd make me mad because I thought he don't care. We got the fire marshal about to shut us down. And Tim's just over there mumbling, well, I guess we'll have to do this or that, you know. Look, man, this is the big deal. Well, worrying about it ain't going to fix it. That was his attitude. And you know what? He was exactly right. But it's funny now, his head's full of gray hair and mine ain't, amen? We'll remind him of that next time we see him. But he didn't ever worry about anything. Did you know they say worry causes more sickness and health issues than disease itself? Yep. Amen. How many of you worry? Be honest. I worry myself to death. I do. I worry about this and I worry about that, and I'm worried about getting tires on the buses, and I'm worried about paying off this building. I'm worried about what we're going to do next, what we're going to build, where we're going to go. I worry about everything in the world, and every one of us are prone to do that. But what if we took the time we worried and replaced that with a time of prayer? What if we took the time we spend laying, and I don't know about you, my wife can lay down in the bed at night and I can be talking to her. I mean having a conversation, and all of a sudden she stops responding. Anybody know anybody like that? Brother Jerry's pointing at Sherry. Everybody's got their hands. Everybody, you're like that, Joe. Man, I wish I was. Janie's like that. Man, I lay in the bed, but my mind starts going, woo, 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 woo. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I lay there and lay there and lay there, and I'll think about this. And then it'll jump from this track to that track. It's like an old 8-track tape player. Y'all remember those? You ever had one that was bad and it would jump tracks on you? And that's what my brain will do. Maybe I'm crazy, but I'll lay there and I'm worried about this for a minute. And then my mind goes over here. And my mind goes over there. And you know what I had to learn how to do? I had to learn how to pray myself to sleep. Amen. You say, man, you shouldn't fall asleep on God. Hey, it's better than worrying all night. Amen. Prayer replaces worry. Did you know they say that 99% of the things you worry about never happen? 99% of the things you worry about never happen. How about that? That means we wasted a lot of time. Wasted a lot of sleep or sleeplessness or went without sleep. It's just a waste. It's just a waste. You say, well, I can't help but worry. We can if we'll fight it. We can if we'll fight it. I get worried about people, man. I told Todd a while ago, I said, you know what? I said, my job would be real easy if people didn't have problems. If people didn't have problems, my job would be really, really easy. I've heard horrible news today, horrible news yesterday. This seems like every time I turn, I feel like sometimes instead of a pastor, I'm a cop. Brother Todd sees people at their worst. He's a City of Atlanta policeman. He sees people on their very worst day, but every time, they're always at their worst. And sometimes as a pastor, I feel like that, except for weddings. And then you might say, well, that could be the worst too, amen. I asked the young lady at the altar one time. She came down the aisle. A young man was standing. I said, hon, can you take a joke? She said, sure. I said, well, I pronounce you man and wife. Amen. You'll get that in a minute. Prayer replaces worry. 99% of our worries never happen in the first place. I told y'all a while back about that fish I used to have in my office. Had the battery in it. Every time you walk by it, it'd start wiggling and it'd sing that little song. Don't worry, be happy. I know it's probably a worldly song, but I sure do like it. Amen. Why worry when I can replace worry with prayer? You know what worry is? Worry is simply misplaced trust. Let me say it again. Worry is simply misplaced trust. Let me ask you something. How many of you have a problem, now be honest, that is too big for God? How many of you believe you've got a problem that God's in heaven going, I ain't got a clue. I've never seen anything like this. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how to react. I don't think we can fix this. This is too bad. There's nothing too hard for our God. So when we worry, our trust must be misplaced. Amen. I know our prayers are not always answered in the way we want them to. But they're answered in God's way, in God's will. Amen. So even when that prayer doesn't get answered like I wanted it to be answered, I can still trust that God knew what He was doing. Right. Amen. Are we okay? Somebody needs to get rid of some worry tonight. Somebody's probably got some pills in their pocket to keep them from wigging out. Amen. Hey, there's a time or two. I ain't knocking you. If I had one, I'd swallow it, buddy. Amen. There's times where I get anxiety so bad and worried about this and worried about that. I'm thinking, man, I need a pill. And the Holy Ghost, no, you need to pray. Yeah. Amen. I don't need a pill. I need to pray. I need to get hold of God. Amen. Listen, don't go home and say, Brother Eddie told me I can't take this nerve medicine no more and flush your pills and then commit suicide and blame it on me. Okay, do not do that. It's dangerous. Amen. But I'm just saying, if we could replace that worry with prayer. Man, I'm telling you, that'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? I said, number one, prayer replaces worry. I said 99% of our worries never come to pass anyway. I said worry is simply misplaced trust. We're trusting in what we can do or what man can do instead of what God can do. Listen, secondly, prayer reviews God's goodness. It not only replaces worry, but it reviews God's goodness. It's hard to pray and not think about how great He is. Do you understand that? When we bow our head and pray, the word prayer is a general word, and it would include worship. When we pray and when we worship, it reminds us of how good our God is. When Ashley was singing a while ago, I asked her if she'd sing that song, "Why Should I Worry? Why Should I Fear? This very same Jesus is always so near. Why should I worry?" You know what that song causes me to do? It causes me to worship. Amen? Now stay with me. There's two different kinds of church music. One makes you want to do this. One makes you want to do that. I want that kind of music that draws my spirit to Him. Y'all okay? That praise and worship stuff, sometimes that worries me. A lot of times that's just stuff done in the flesh. That's the way we used to act at concerts, Brother Robert. That's the way we did. Just get a bit lighter and hold that thing up. Ain't much difference. Amen? Prayer reviews the goodness. Man, when we get to praising God and we get to praying to God, listen, you ought to start every prayer in thanking God. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, in prayers and supplications, make your requests known. He said, with supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. You ought to start every prayer thanking God. You ought to start every prayer thanking God. How many of you got something to be thankful for? Amen. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my children. Hey, we're going to get to keep Zoe tomorrow, our littlest grandbaby. And I'm excited about that. She's almost to walk. I mean, she's come so close, standing up on her own. I told Sister Angie while we was getting ready, I said, Zoe's going to walk tomorrow, and she's going to do it at our house. I got two goals tomorrow. That baby's going to walk, and she's going to say, Papa. Or I'm giving her a spanking. Amen. No, I'm kidding. Tomorrow she's going to walk and say, Papa. Man, I got something to be thankful for. Amen. Man, Katie sent me a picture this morning, and Zoe, she's ain't even walking yet, but she's already a mess, and she's making a face and got her tongue hanging out, and it said, good morning from Zoe. And I've looked at that picture 100 times today, and every time I do, just grin, and something inside me just says, thank you, Lord. God, you've been so good to me. Amen. That baby could have been born dead. She could have been born with defects. She could have been born with something bad wrong with her, but God let her come into this world, and that one into this world, and them three grandbaby boys into this world. Hey, I got something that I can lift my hands for tonight and say, thank you, God, for your blessings on me. Woo! I rode to church tonight in a nice vehicle with the best looking woman in this place, in this town for that matter, if you want my opinion. Amen. Hey, I got a lot to be thankful for. I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich before I left. Somebody say amen right there. I'm talking about Jif, Concord grape jelly. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, I got something to be thankful for. I could be sleeping with them fellas in the woods up there. Y'all seen them little homeless encampment on I-20? I could be right there under one of them tarps with them guys tonight. I could be down there in Atlanta under a bridge. That's where I deserve to be. Furthermore, I could be in hell. But here I stand enjoying the grace of God. When we pray, it causes us to review the goodness of God. You know why people don't appreciate the Lord? They don't never talk to Him. Amen. You know why they don't have any respect for God? They don't ever talk to Him. Because you can't talk to Him without realizing how wonderful He is and how huge that He is. You can't talk to Him without knowing what a great God it is we serve. I liked it the other night. I don't think she's here tonight. I liked it the other night when Nina got up here and sang, "How Great Thou Art." Yes, He is. You ever tell Him? Hey, listen, every little girl in this place, even these growing, almost grown teenage girls, you know how to get just about anything out of your daddy, don't you, Kenny? She grinned. Oh, yeah, I know how to get daddy. What do? You crawl up in his lap, and you give him some sugar, and tell him he's the best daddy in the world, and he'll have his wallet in his hand. I'm telling you, that's how it works. Angie sent me to the store the other day, and I took Caroline. She went with me to the grocery store. I had my list of what I was supposed to get. And I had it in the buggy. I was supposed to got a Coca-Cola and Hawaiian Punch. That's what it was. Hayden likes Coca-Cola, and Jonah likes Hawaiian Punch. Well, Caroline says, Papa. I know the tone. I said, what do you want, baby? She said, pink lemonade. I didn't even argue with her. I just put it in the buggy. Why? Because I love it when she loves on me. And God loves it when we love on him. You just crawl up in his lap tonight and tell him how good he is, how great he is, how thankful you are you're not going to hell, how thankful you are you're saved. Whew, boy, what a blessing. What a blessing. Prayer replaces worry. Prayer reviews the goodness of God. Thirdly, prayer requests help. Prayer requests help. Supplication. Supplication, it means asking. With prayers and supplication. Supplication and making requests means that we are asking God for help. If the psalmist David had to do it in Psalms chapter number 12, y'all remember what he said? Two words that would change your life if you'd learn to use them on a regular basis. Help, Lord. If you'd learn to use those two words, help, Lord. But normally we like Peter. We don't ask for help till we're dog paddling and we're up to here.
Amen.
We ought to ask him before we ever sink. We ought to ask him before we ever head into a situation, not when we're neck deep in it. Amen? Amen. Prayer requests help. God does not mind us asking for things. He gave us that model prayer. They call it the Lord's Prayer. I believe it's just a model prayer. Some people just quote that prayer and they call that their prayer life. That's not your prayer life. That's just a good outline to set up your prayer life.
Right.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He starts off praising him. He starts off bragging on him. Then he goes into the asking stuff. Give us this day our daily bread. It's okay to ask God. It requests help for you and it requests help for others. Sister Tabitha called me today, pretty upset. Got some bad news. That ain't nothing I can do. There ain't nothing you can do, but I can tell God about it.
Amen.
It's not even my situation, but it's hers.
Amen.
And I can ask God for help on her behalf.
Amen.
My daughter's never had cancer. Brother Tommy's has. And I was able to go to God on her behalf and ask for her and ask for them. Amen.
Amen.
Little Sophia, 3 years old, just had MRI to see if the cancer's come back on her brain yesterday. They said everything went real good. The procedure, they'll have the test results Friday. I'm not really worried about it. Why? I asked my Father. I asked my Father, let that test come back good again. Lord healed that little girl. I believe it with all my heart. Amen. Prayer requests help. It reviews the goodness of God. It replaces our worry. I wonder how many times, if you come to our church on a regular basis, I wonder how many times that song she sang tonight has come in your head during a situation. Boy, you'll start fretting and start worrying. It never fails. The Holy Spirit will bring that thing to my mind every single time. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? When this very same Jesus is always so near. Man, that thing pops in my head. I don't know how many times a day I think about that song right there. Thank God prayer replaces worry. I ain't got to worry and I ain't got to fret. It reviews the goodness of God. It requests help. Lastly, and I'm done tonight, prayer rests in peace. Prayer rests in peace. He said, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, how about this, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and what, say it with me, minds through Christ. Now notice what verse 7 followed. Verse 6. Well, that's rocket science, isn't it? What was verse 6? Don't worry about nothing. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, let your requests and thanksgiving be made known. Then in verse number 7, After the not worrying, after replacing worry with prayer, we get the peace of God that passes all understanding. How about that? Maybe you worry so much because you don't pray so much. We've got so much stuff to pray about in this church. Sister Denise, boy, I'm telling you, man, your husband, Greg, I was fixing to say, what's his face? Greg, that's his name. He was telling me the other day, I've been praying for Melissa's headaches. She's got that shunt in that drains that fluid off her brain, and she's able to go to the doctor, and he was telling me about somehow they pierced the cartilage in her ear. Is that right? Oh, the doctor didn't do it. Doctor told you about it. So anyway, it helped. Hallelujah. Oh, don't mess with my preaching. It helped, and it helped reduce those headaches, man. You know what that is? That's an answered prayer. And if my prayer worked for the daughter, I believe it'll work for the mama. Amen. Mama's got a little bigger problem than that. But I got a bigger God than is her problem. Y'all all right? Got peace about it. The Lord was able to give us peace about Sister Ashley Hallford before she ever got well. Brother Freddie looked me in the eye one day. He said, I'm telling you, I got peace about this, and I didn't have yet. And I kept praying. It wasn't long after that. God gave it to me. And then I gave it to Sheila. I told her, I said, God's give us peace about it, sis. I believe everything's going to be all right. And then she got peace about it. Whew. And then Ashley got peace about it. And we really got peace about it when we got that doctor's report. How many of you remember the night I stood in the pulpit and read it? I read the size of every one of those tumors at the beginning. And it had the date, and then it had the present. And it says, such and such centimeters, zero. Such and such centimeters, zero. Every one of them was zero. I'll never forget that as long as I live. He said, boy, she had a good doctor. She had a good God. Amen. You know what the doctor did that treated her? He gave God the credit. Their brochure for their oncology department or office or whatever it is, they called after she got healed and asked her, could they use her as their poster child? Amen. Put her picture on their literature and gave God the credit there. Amen. How about that? And then the doctor that told her she could never have a baby. Tommy's about to have a fit over there. The doctor that told her she could never have a baby. They were looking for a surrogate mom. Yeah, but there was a little boy. There was a little boy who went to God three times every single day. He didn't understand chemotherapy. He didn't understand doctor's reports. But three times a day he said, God, I want a little sister. God, give me a little sister. If my memory's right, Ashley went back to that doctor who said she couldn't ever have another baby and just took him a picture of a sonogram. Is that right? She was about to go in for surgery to have her something done to her esophagus where the chemo had burned her up, and she went in for pre-op, and they said, we can't do this surgery. She said, why? They said, you're pregnant. Ain't God good? Prayer, rest in peace. I worry about a lot of stuff, but wouldn't you rather have peace than worry? Amen. Wouldn't you rather have the peace of God? Wouldn't you like to be able to go to sleep like my wife and Brother Joe? Just lay down on the pillow and go, conk, just out. I think something's wrong with them myself. You always knew that. That's exactly right. What prayer does. Prayer replaces our worry. I guarantee you, if you'll pray more, you'll worry less. You're human, you're still going to worry. But if you'll pray more, you'll worry less. Prayer reviews the goodness of God. Hey, it does our hearts and our lives good just to think about Him. Think about His ways and think about His power. Think about His love and His mercy and His grace. Prayer reviews the goodness of God. Prayer requests help. There's probably some of you need some help tonight. We're fixing to get in this altar and ask God for some help. Brother Stacy, we got our prayer sheets in your hand. That's good. Come on down here with them, brother. Prayer rest in peace. Prayer rest in peace. If you never had this happen, don't raise your hand. But I wonder how many of you could honestly say, I have faced certain situations before anything ever happened or before the prayer was ever answered, God gave me peace in my heart. I knew it was going to be all right. But there ain't nothing like that, is there? Thank God for the peace of God that passes all understanding. And then he said he'd keep your hearts and your minds. Where do you worry? In your mind. He said he'd keep your heart and your mind. The peace of God would keep your heart and your mind. Let's stand our feet tonight.